This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. I'm so glad you've let me come right to where you are. And I know that this week you have a lot going on because it's the end of the year. You might be getting ready for New Year's celebrations, but I want to tell you what I do every single year at this time of the year. Rather than just let the new year come and celebrate, I always take time to review my year. I look back on the year. I look to see what the Lord told me to do. Did I do it? How faithfully did I do it? What did I fail to do? And if I failed to do what I was instructed to do, then I take time to repent and to make it right before the Lord. And then I always ask the Holy Spirit, please tell me, as I enter into the new year, as the clock strikes and we begin the new year, what is your plan for me in the new year? You know, Jesus said in John chapter 16 that when the Holy Spirit came, He would be the Spirit of truth, He would guide us, and He would show us things to come. The Holy Spirit would love to reveal to you today and tomorrow God's plan for your next year. What you're to accomplish, what kind of bonuses you're supposed to get, who you're supposed to talk to, what relationships you're supposed to mend, how much weight you're supposed to lose, what you're supposed to do with your physical exercise program. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He is a tour guide. He knows the future. He knows every route you need to take. He knows what you need to stop and what you need to avoid. And rather than just start the new year by taking a shot in the dark, the Holy Spirit would love to communicate to you and tell you exactly what you are to accomplish in the new year. So here's what I do. I always take a piece of paper, and I get quiet before the Lord when no one's around. And I say, all right, Lord, speak to my heart. Usually I pray in tongues, and then I listen, and I begin to write. And as I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I begin to write to me, write down on that piece of paper what I believe are His objectives for my life in the new year. And it helps provide guidance for the new year. Now, the truth is, I'm thinking about it long before today. But always at the very end of the year, I take a few moments just to reflect and to make sure I've heard everything clearly. So when the clock strikes, I don't begin my new year aimlessly. I already have a plan. I know what I'm supposed to do. And I want to encourage you, in addition to being with family and friends or going to church or enjoying fireworks or watching movies on TV with your family and friends, make sure you consecrate some time, number one, to review the year, to see what you did that you were supposed to do, to repent for what you didn't do that you were instructed to do, make it right before you end the year. And then as you begin the new year, begin with a plan. Begin with a Spirit-inspired goal that's given to you by the Holy Spirit as you write it down while you're spending time with Him, and it will really help you start the new year correctly. You'll end the year right, and you'll start the year right. My friends, I really want to encourage you to do that. That's what I do. But today, we're going to continue our series, which is called Victory That Overcomes the World. It's a five-part series, comes in all kinds of formats, and it comes with a wonderful study guide that is just loaded with everything in the series is in the study guide. So you can read all the material while you're seeing or hearing the series, because it is just a fact that when you read and see or hear at the same time, it really causes all of the revelation just to gel down deep inside you. So please order both. And we're also offering you today my book, My Victory-Filled Day. The subtitle says, A Sparkling Gems from the Greek Guided Devotional Journey. It is 31 days of walking you into victory, so every day of your life can be a victory-filled day. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call right now, and we want to pray for you. It's the end of the year. Maybe there's some things on your heart that you've not seen fulfilled yet this year, or you're praying about the new year, and you just wish there was somebody that could really pray with you about the things that you're facing. Well, call the number on the screen. In fact, write it down and save that number. Maybe one day you have a need, but the TV program is not on and you don't see the number. Well, write it down and save it so that if you do get in a position where you need somebody to pray with you, you always have that number to call. And we are here for you and we want to pray for you. Now, if you call and the number is busy, leave a message. We will call you back and we really will. We're very serious about praying for you. And when you reach out to us, we will pray scripturally. Jesus is going to do something tremendous for you. He's going to move in your life. So please call the number on the screen or go online and send us an email, and we want to pray with you. But reach for your Bible. We always use the Bible in this program, and I've got my Bible right in front of me. And today, we're going to talk about the fact that Christ has triumphed over all, and He has called you to triumph. But I want to begin by reading the Apostles' Creed. Now, here on the set with me, I have a beautifully designed copy of the Apostles' Creed, which we have made available to our viewers in the past. If you didn't call in the past and order yours, call today or go online to order yours. It is absolutely free of charge. We would love to slip it in the mail to you. It is beautifully designed. And I'll tell you that we quote the Apostles' Creed in our church in Moscow every single week without fail. You say, well, why do you do that? That seems very religious. Well, we do it because we have people in our church that have come from all different backgrounds, some of them from other denominations, some of them were atheists. And when they come to church, we want to make sure we're all on the same page about what we believe. And my friends, the Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest creeds of the church. And I would advise you that if you don't already have a copy of it, call us or go online to order yours, and we'll send you this very beautifully designed Apostles' Creed, which you can frame just like I have framed mine. But here is what the Apostles' Creed says. Now listen to this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. Now listen to this part. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Apostles' Creed says, and in the Holy Catholic Church. But the word Catholic here doesn't refer to the Roman Catholic Church. The word Catholic here means universal. I believe in the universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We believe in every one of these points. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe He is the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord. We believe He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. We believe He was born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that He suffered under Pontius Pilate. We believe that He suffered, He died, and was buried. We believe the third day He rose again. We believe He ascended to heaven. We believe He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We believe He's coming to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the church. We believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the resurrection of the body, and we believe in life everlasting. And we all say, amen. But there's one point I skipped. And the reason I skipped it is because many people today don't believe it. But it's in the Apostles' Creed. It's the oldest creed of the church. And I'm talking about the phrase that said, He descended into hell. And there are many brethren today who do not believe Jesus went to hell. They say, no, He just went to the grave. But the Bible explicitly teaches that in the 3 days that Jesus' body was in the grave, His spirit descended into hell, and Jesus literally plundered hell at the end of those 3 days. And we're going to see this in Scripture today. And even the Apostles' Creed declares Jesus descended into hell. Now, open your Bible to Colossians 2, verse 15, where we read, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." He spoiled them by the work of the cross, and He spoiled them by what He did when He went to hell. But I want us to really take this verse apart because it is so very important. It's describing what happened because of Jesus' work on the cross and what happened at the end of those 3 days of Jesus being in hell. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Let's begin with the word spoil, which is the Greek word which means to put off, to strip off, as one would strip off garments. It was a technical word that was used to depict the disarming of an enemy, to disarm an enemy, to strip an enemy of his weaponry and artillery, and to leave him absolutely without any weapons with which to respond, or to strip him bare, to strip an enemy to the point of complete nakedness, or to thoroughly plunder. And this verse could be better translated like this. He completely stripped principalities and powers and left them utterly naked with nothing left at their disposal to retaliate. Wow. There Jesus was in hell for 3 days. The enemy thought he had won, but on the third day, God quickened Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus came out of hell on the third day and re-entered his body on the way out of hell, Jesus completely stripped principalities and powers and left them utterly naked with nothing left at their disposal with which to retaliate. He stripped them bare. Now, who was it that he stripped bare? Well, the verse says principalities and powers. And in Greek, this is plural. The word principalities here refers to all high-ranking beings of a spiritual nature, but specifically to dark spiritual beings, those of the satanic or demonic realm. The word powers also is plural. It also refers to those who had authority in the dark demonic realm to exercise authority. And Jesus literally stripped them bare and made a show of them openly. And the word show, the Greek word degmatizo, means, listen to this, to display, to expose something. It was used to denote the display of captains' weaponries and trophies that were seized during war on foreign soil. Once the war was finished and the battle was won, the reigning emperor would return home and would victoriously display or show. Here it's translated as the word show. He would display and expose the treasures, the trophies, the weaponry, and captives that he had seized during his military conquest. This was a grand moment of celebration for the victor, but a humiliating experience for the defunct foe. That is the word that is used here. And my friends, this tells us explicitly, Jesus stripped principalities and powers naked. He left them with nothing with which to retaliate. He stripped them bare to the core as he ascended from hell back into heaven. But it goes on to say he did this openly. In Greek, it says in parousia. The word in means in. The word parousia describes boldness, confidence, something that's very frank. But when you compound the two words together, it becomes in parousia. It means to do something in the wide open or to do something very publicly, which means what Jesus did in hell was no quiet affair. In fact, it was quite a public event. He did it openly. Jesus did it loudly. He displayed this now defunct foe to all of heaven's hosts and revealed that he had plundered hell, he had plundered the enemy, and had seized all the artillery and weaponry of the enemy. And then the verse goes on to say, triumphing over them in it. Now we have to pause and look at this word triumphing, the Greek word triumbeo. A very, very important word which was used to describe a general or an emperor returning home from a grand victory. It depicts the general or emperor's triumphal parade. That's what this word triumphing means. It describes a triumphal parade. When he returned home with a beaten foreign ruler bound in chains, and forced to walk behind him in disgrace and shame, dishonor and embarrassment and humiliation. Crowds of people would fill the streets of Rome, and they would throw a celebration. It was the wildest party of all because the emperor had returned home. He reigned victorious. And as he rode in his chariot, and my friend, triumphal parades were momentous, momentous affairs, and they occurred in Rome quite frequently, always after a grand conquest. When the emperor came home or a grand general returned home and he rode in his chariot, which was decked in gold and pulled by magnificent horses, he rode at the very front of the parade, and behind him was the foreign enemy that he had defeated, bound in chains, often in a cage, sometimes forced to walk in humiliation and shame. And behind the foreign defunct foe, behind that leader were his generals, his nobles, all his men of war who were also walking behind him in total shame and total humiliation. And behind that were carts loaded with treasures and trophies and all kinds of things which the emperor or the general had seized from that foreign territory, and now he was bringing it home. This was a moment of great praise and great triumph for the emperor or the general because he was reigning. But for the defeated foe, this was the greatest shame and the greatest humiliation of all. Now, let me give you a history lesson. Maybe you've heard of Cleopatra. Well, Cleopatra the VII was the last Cleopatra, and she had fallen in love with Mark Antony. Well, when Egypt fell, Cleopatra knew she was going to be taken to Rome as a defeated foe. She knew Caesar was going to take her to Rome. And she knew she was going to be put on public display. She knew she was going to be put in chains, perhaps even possibly put in a cage. She knew that behind her was possibly going to be her son and other rulers and other nobles who were Egyptians that were now defeated. And behind that were going to be the treasures of Egypt. And she knew the entire streets of Rome were going to be filled with Roman citizens who came together to celebrate the returning emperor and to see the defeated Cleopatra. And rather than face the shame of that moment, she chose to commit suicide. She did not want to be put on display. Did you learn something? Now, with all that in mind, let's look at this verse. And this verse says, and, oh, this is so powerful, having spoiled principalities and powers. Now we understand the word spoiled means he completely stripped principalities and powers and left them utterly naked with nothing left at their disposal to retaliate. And he did this openly in the wide open for all the heavenly realm, every spiritual realm to see this. And in a figurative way, Paul tells us that when Jesus returned home after this event, when Jesus ascended to heaven, heaven threw a party. Jesus returned as the reigning emperor. He had been to the depths of the depths. He had spent 3 days in the enemy's camp. The enemy thought he had defeated Jesus, but on the third day, God said, I will not allow my Holy One to suffer corruption. And the power of the Holy Spirit descended into the very pit of hell itself and divinely energized Jesus. And Jesus, on the way out, stripped the enemy bare. And Paul says, Christ triumphed over the enemy. Triumphed. He led a triumphal procession and displayed this now defunct devil completely, utterly humiliated, stripped bare of all of his weaponry. Oh, that is just so powerful. But wait, there's something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Just as Jesus jubilantly triumphed over the enemy, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, God always, say always, causes us to triumph. I told you yesterday, victory is yours to claim. God has called us to be overcomers, not to be victors, not to be victims. But God has called us to overcome everything that is around us. And in the same way that Christ triumphed himself, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, God always causes us to triumph in Christ. And if you're not triumphing right now over everything in your life, then you've not hit the mark yet. Because God always causes us to triumph. That means over strife, over the enemy, over sickness, over failure, over a bad self-image. God has called you to triumph over it all and to put the enemy on display. He has been stripped naked. He is under your feet. My friends, you have authority and you have been called to have victory and to overcome and to triumph always in Christ. I'll be back in just a moment and I'm going to pray for you. This is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked, what do we do about anxiety and overthinking? Well, when I was a younger man, I had a lot of anxiety and I worried about everything. I'm a thinker and I overthought everything. But one day I came to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which says, be careful for nothing. It literally means don't worry and don't worry about anything at all, but instead in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the promise in verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So rather than thinking and thinking and overthinking every problem, which is not going to change anything, once you've thought about it, then you need to stop worrying and you need to begin to pray and thank God for the answer. And these verses promise that God's peace will flood you and will protect your mind and your emotions.
In his new series, Victory That Overcomes the World, Rick Renner shows you how God designed you to be a container of his mighty Holy Spirit power. This 5-part series will help you step into your position of strength in Christ and walk daily in his supernatural ability. In this teaching, you'll learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How to put on the armor of God by His power. How easy it is to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This series is available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11. This teaching will inspire you to confidently take hold of the power God has freely given you. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Rick's book, My Victory-Filled Day, a sparkling gems from the Greek Guided Devotional Journal, and your own beautiful printed copy of the Apostles' Creed. Don't miss this special offer, the bundle of the series, Victory That Overcomes the World. The book, My Victory-Filled Day, for $20, and the free printout of the Apostles' Creed. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Friend, today we have covered a lot of material, and I know you can't possibly remember it all, so please order the 5-part series called Victory That Overcomes the World and the study guide that goes with it. And be sure to order my book, which is called My Victory-Filled Day. You're supposed to walk in victory, and we've seen today that God has called you to triumph always, not sometimes. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. That should be your goal. And say, Father, in Jesus' name, help me to embrace that you've called me to walk in victory and to be an overcomer and to triumph. Amen. And I also want to remind you that today only, we want to give you free a copy of the Apostles' Creed. That's what this is. It's beautifully designed. When you get yours, you can frame yours like I have framed mine. And you can order yours by going online or by just giving us a call. And please, when you reach out to us, let us know what it is that you need to triumph over. What is it that you're trying to overcome? We want to put our faith together with yours and together we will agree. And Jesus said, if two or three of you will agree as touching anything, my Father will do it. We will agree together scripturally. God will hear us. And Jesus' power will be released to help you triumph over what it is that you're dealing with. My friends, you're called to be an overcomer. But Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we are not victims, but you've called us to be victors. You've called us to be an overwhelming, phenomenal, walloping force in this life and to overcome everything that comes against us. Thank you that greater is He that's in us and we can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you tomorrow. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, my wife and I are coming to the United States to hold some wonderful meetings, and I want to tell you about them. But please be sure to go to our website to affirm all these times and dates, because sometimes things change. But we are coming to Florida on Sunday, Monday, January 11th and 12th to Naples. We're going to be at the Faith Church with pastors Andre and Jenny Robert. On Friday, January 16th, we're coming to Brandenden, Florida, to the Happy Gospel Church, to a Friends in Ministry with Roberts Lairdon meeting. Then on Sunday, January the 18th, we're coming to Newark, Texas, to Eagle Mountain International Church to be with Pastors George and Terry Pearsons and the whole church. On January 25th, we're coming to Green Mountain Falls, Colorado, to Legacy Church to be with Pastors Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. On Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January 30th, 31st, and February 1st, we're coming to Mesa, Arizona, to Vita Church to be with Pastors Ben and Kara Diaz. On Sunday, February the 8th, we're coming to Southfield, Michigan to be at Word of Faith with Bishop Keith and Pastor Deborah Butler. On Sunday, February 15th, we're coming to Tulsa, Oklahoma to be at Millennial Church with Pastors Paul and Karen Brady. And on Saturday and Sunday, February 21st and 22nd, we're coming to Midland, North Carolina to Encounter Church to be with Bishop Allen and Tara DiDio. And friend, I want to invite you to come to one of these meetings. We're waiting to see you there.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.